You're about to listen to Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games. It's a comedy video game podcast. We would like to stress that the hosts are not experts and are really just very crass commentators. Seriously, this is an explicit podcast that happens to talk about video games sometimes. So please enjoy this pretty okay podcast with Tyler and Dave.
Hello, Internet.
Hello.
And welcome once again to a Tadpog podcast. I'm your beard host, Tyler. We're a little bit of a late recording. Delayed. Things.
Yeah, I had an appendectomy.
I wasn't going to say it. I was like,
surgery can be done over the weekend.
We discussed talking about it, so I was like, should I even say anything?
Yeah, so we're recording it late. I feel like this has been a constant, like, when's the last time we recorded, like, consistently on a Thursday? It's been, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's been a while since we've hit one after the other.
And two of those recently have been on me because of, like, a work trip and now, a bad appendix.
But so you look half a pound lighter.
Take care. Yeah. I got rid of this annoyingly bulbous appendix, and it's made a big difference in my life. It has, actually.
So you think you felt bad for a while because of it?
No. I mean, I felt bad for like half of a Thursday, but like that was enough.
Dave texts me and Tyler Thursday and is like, "Hey, I don't think I'm going to be able to record tonight." Sorry.
No, it might be gas or I could be on the verge of death.
Was like,
I don't think it's appendicitis or whatever.
But yeah,
I was relieved that it was appendicitis.
There's an answer.
Yeah. And I mean, because I went to my doctor and, you know, he was like, "Well, thanks for coming by here first," you know, because I was like, waiting in that waiting room to see him was the worst. Nikki was with me and I'm really glad that she was. And I couldn't get comfortable. Like I would sit down and be like, okay, that hurts. And I would stand up, you know, and like kind of walk around a little bit. And then like, by the time he called me back and, you know, they do the whole, like, you don't see him first, you see somebody else, and they talk, and I'm like, "I'm just going to lie down. Is that okay?" And she's like, "Yeah, that's okay." And so I lie down, and I'm like, "Okay, that's better." You know, not lying on my right side, that hurt, but lying on my left side was good. But anyway, I mean, when I was in the waiting room, I told Nikki, I was like, "I should just go into the emergency room, because like, I don't know what's going on, but like, this sucks.
This is bad. This sucks
to wait."
Yeah.
But I was relieved.
It was a lot cheaper, though.
What's that?
It was a lot cheaper to go to your doctor than the ER.
Yeah, but I had to go to the ER anyway.
Oh, they still made you go? That sucks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, because I mean...
So you definitely end up paying more than...
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's going to suck.
That's why the doctor thanked you for coming to see him first.
Yeah, we like it when you come here.
Because we're going to get paid. The ER is going to get paid. Yeah. Everyone's getting paid.
Yeah, we all get paid. And I had to do an overnight stay, too, so...
God,
I know. But I was lucky in that, you know, it didn't rupture anything. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty early. I was worried because Wednesday night I felt kind of not good. And I had sex anyway, and it was the worst sex.
Hell yeah.
Way to be a trooper.
Yeah. I was committed.
On the verge of death.
This is happening. It barely happened.
Yeah.
Something burst. The good thing burst.
Nope. Nope. Gave up on that.
I'm definitely not okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Oh my God, you are sick.
Yeah. So that's a joke now in our house. Is remember the time that I tried to have sex with appendicitis? To be fair, at the time I didn't know. I thought it was probably just some gas. But I was relieved when the doctor, like the emergency room doctor, came back and was like, you know, because I did this the scan, right?
Yeah, with the contrast. Ultrasound or whatever.
And yeah, she came back and she was like, "You have appendicitis." And I was like, "Thank God," because I will, because there's an answer, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And not only that, but it was like, it's not just a fucking righteous fart that's like, you know, just stuck in one spot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a, so yeah, they took it out and now I don't have it. And they did not prescribe me any pain meds. So
did they do a laparoscope?
Yeah.
Okay.
It hasn't been, the pain hasn't been bad. I've just been taking ibuprofen, yeah. But I mean like certain things like, you know,
well, you were punctured.
Yeah, standing
in,
up.
In like, what, three places?
Yeah, it's three or four. Belly button, and then like 4 inches up from the belly button. And then the one that hurts the most is like on my waist.
Yeah.
And that's like the biggest incision. And I think there might be a fourth one over here somewhere. I don't really want to go searching for it.
Yeah, no, I don't
Poor
blame
Barry
you.
Burton.
So yeah, my Barry Burton. It's going to be a, at least, I don't know. At least no one looks at my belly button.
I was talking to John about it today.
Seeing stars from that belly, Barry Burton pain.
I was talking to John about it today, and he said, or I was telling him what had happened, and I was like, it was weird because Dave messaged us, yeah, I got to have surgery tonight or tomorrow morning. And then less than 2 hours later, had surgery. I'm fine. I'm like, damn, that was well done. Man, you're up and texting.
It was awesome that like they, because it was one of those situations where if it had been a little bit later, I probably would have had to waited for the morning.
Yeah.
But the surgeon was like, we got everybody here still. It's like, you know, we're going to try to get it done. And I was like, please let's get it done.
Yeah.
Cause first of all, like it hurts. And second of all, I've only had breakfast today and I'm fucking starving.
Yeah. And while you're not
I'm already
full
MBO,
of food,
let's do it.
While you're not full of food is the best time.
Oh, yeah, he straight up told me, he's like, yeah, you can't eat until the surgery. I'm like, can we please, is there any way we can do this tonight? He's like, you're not going to want to eat when the surgery's over. He was wrong. I ate a big turkey sandwich and a cookie.
Good. Fuck you. Don't do what you tell me.
I was fucking starving.
Yeah.
And the nurse was like, are you okay? I was like, yeah.
Now that I've had something to eat, and the appendix thing is over with, but now that I've had something to eat.
I got to eat for surgery. Got to have my strength.
I was so scared to poop. Man, I was
Junior
so
meds.
Scared.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. Because it was one of those where it was like, just gonna wait until it's like
until it's there.
Super ready.
Yeah,
yeah, just knocking at the door.
Turtle poking his head out.
Because anytime I'd sit and like try to like move anything myself, it was we're not gonna do that. It hurts like hell. So everything's good.
Well, good. I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you.
I'm glad it went well and that you didn't have any big problems.
Yeah, me too. Thank you. Thanks for pushing recording back to today. I know it's...
We thought about trying to do seeing if they'd let us in to record while you were having the surgery, but then I didn't bother because
But it's hospital policy. They'd already seen Dave's penis, so he can't.
That's my policy. I didn't want to show another surgeon my penis.
Yeah.
Do it, make another surgeon feel bad. Make all these surgeons feel
bad.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's it.
That's the ticket. I woke up.
Because then they're like, I might take an inch off during surgery.
Reminds me of this episode of Parks and Rec I just recently watched where... somebody was sending dick pics to everyone in the government building or whatever. And Anne is a nurse. And she actually said, I think something may be wrong with this guy. And, so they set up a thing for all the men to get free examinations. And Jerry came out of getting examined and the doctor said, that man has the largest penis I've ever seen. And then he goes, he has the largest penis I have ever seen. I figured that's how it went for you.
Yeah, totally. I woke up all shaved. I did. And I was like, what's funny is I didn't notice it at first, right? So it's like, I mean, it was like the next day. I had missed one of those cardio stickers they put on you.
Uh-huh.
And I pulled that off. I was like, oh, okay. Well, there's another one of those. And I looked down and I was peeing and I was like,
oh, there.
where's the hair?
What different?
yeah, it was. And I was like, is there stubble between my belly button and my pubes?
Did I go back in time 30 years?
I kind of like
so
it.
So smooth.
I'm not going to lie. It's like, okay, that's all right. And then the way
it
they...
It gives back.
Yeah. So I don't know. I might have surgery might have opened
a door.
Opened a door, yeah.
All right. Ka is a wheel.
I was in emergency room number 19.
I saw that, yeah. The picture.
You can ask Nikki how excited I was to share that. I was very excited.
That is funny.
And then I was like, this is either really good or really bad.
Yeah, it could go either way.
What have you been up to, Ian?
Nothing nearly as exciting. I mowed my yard yesterday.
Hell yeah.
I beat the rain, I guess. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's raining today.
Well, let's see here. I have notes. I watched a movie on Shudder called Late Night with the Devil. And it's a show about this movie about this talk show host in the like 80s who was losing his, he was the second most popular talk show host against Johnny Carson, and he decided on a Halloween special episode to have a young lady who was possessed by a demon on the show and try to get her handler to talk to the demon live on the air, and chaos ensues. It's a pretty good movie.
Interesting. Is it newer or was it made in the 80s? Okay.
Brand new. Just came out on Shudder a couple weeks ago as of this recording. 4 stars. We didn't say, she says, check it out. Also, an honorable mention, Joe Bob Briggs was on last Friday. If you have Shudder, he's on every other week this summer. I highly recommend watching his show because it's a good show, and he shows sometimes really great, sometimes really cheesy, but also great, and sometimes really bad movies. But as everyone knows, I've said this before, I totally rip off Joe Bob on my star rating and saying check it out. That's his thing. But he showed a great movie that I had forgotten about called The Autopsy of Jane Doe. It's a really good movie. Brian Cox is in it, the guy from Super Troopers, the captain.
Okay.
From Super Troopers, yeah. Is probably what most people would recognize him from. He's also in Succession, for what it's worth. But it's a really good movie as well. 4 stars, was insane. Says check it out. You could probably watch it on Shudder right now. Shudder's cheap, $7 a month, and you get a lot of pretty decent content. And just having it for Joe Bob during the summer and on holidays is actually worth it to me. So, yeah. Get Shudder. I finished Insomnia, the book Insomnia.
Yes.
It's a pretty good book. It's long and repetitive, which is a Stephen King thing. He has this tendency to remind you of everything over and over and over again because I don't know, he just does. It's a long lead in to a thing that happens in Dark Tower 7. The Dark Tower. The whole book revolves around one thing that happens in the Dark Tower, book 7.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
is it the thing that I think that it is, or is it a different thing? Like, does it shed light in a different way?
What book again did you just say?
It's called Insomnia.
Okay.
Because I know,
and it was published before, like Song of Susanna, I think, and Wolves and. Dark Tower 7. But I'm not going to tell you what it is because it's actually a really critical, it's the single most important plot point of the book, Insomnia. Okay. So I'm not going
to read it. I was planning on reading it anyway.
It is a slow burn. It starts off, it's really creepy and stuff, but it's again, very repetitive and takes a while. It like gets going really well and then it kind of drops to a dull roar for about 800 chapters and then it fires back up again, much like
I felt like several of the Dark Tower books. Yeah. Went
where it's kind of his
man,
style.
He fucking start out so strong. I like Dark Tower 7 a lot, but that one did it where, yeah, it was like holy shit, and then stuff happens that like radically changes it. And then I feel like there's this valley in that book for a while.
Deep valley in that book. But it is a recommend for me to read it. If you're a fan of the Dark Tower series, it's pretty cool.
I do want to read it.
It's a pretty good book. That's all I'm going to say about it.
I canceled Audible, right, to save some money.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't know, 2 months later, they were like promoting a deal for 99 cents per month for 3 months. And I was like,
I was like,
I just did that and canceled. Will they let me do that again?
Yep.
They sure will.
Sure will. And they'll give you those credits every month.
You get a credit every month.
And that's what I'm on right now. I think I just hit my second month of that deal, or I will probably day after tomorrow, the day this airs, most likely. So I picked up that, and I actually paid for, I didn't have a credit, but I actually had Ready Player 2. Mm-hmm. Was on sale.
I like Ready Player Two
for like $15. I have the book, but
as a more music person, I think you'll enjoy it. I didn't get as much out of it.
I've gotten about 6 chapters in on that one. It's also read by Will Wheaton, the same as the first book.
Will Wheaton.
He likes Cool Whip. The only thing that I kind of have a problem with, and I had this problem with the first book, and I have it a little bit more with the second book, is Ernest Cline, the author, is kind of show off, and he really likes to make sure everyone knows that he knows stuff about the 80s. Because every other sentence is an obscure reference to something from the 80s. Mm-hmm. And that was the case in Ready Player One, but it was fresh. Mm-hmm. This is a different book. It takes place right after, obviously, the first book. And it took him about 4 chapters to get started with the actual story of the book.
Yeah, you get through it.
Meanwhile, the first 3 chapters was nothing but obscure 80s references. But it wasn't even that frustrated me so much as the fact that because he knows his audience. And I don't know that I, being from that generation, am necessarily his audience to the extent that maybe I think younger people probably are reading that book or these books. Mm-hmm. The problem is he makes the references, but then feels the need to explain every single reference. And it kind of loses some of its fun for me because I already know a lot of most of the references he makes because that's the time in which I grew up. And to have him have to go spend half a page to explain the reference, for those of you that don't get it, this is a thing that happened in a show that, you know, and it was just that kind of stuff. It took me a little bit to get used to again. But now that the story has kicked in with the actual plot, I'm enjoying it. Mm-hmm. It's not, I was prepared for it. I thought I was prepared for it at first. Now I'm good again. Yeah. So, but I am enjoying that book a lot. And let's see what else.
That book is like, it is your second trip to the buffet. The first trip to the buffet is really good, and you're still a little bit hungry for your second trip, but it's not as good because you're already a little full. It's a quintessential second trip to the buffet.
It is, and it's fine. I'm not dissing on the book. It just was one of those things where it's like, okay, we get it, dude. You know stuff about the 80s, and no one else does, and so now you got to explain it to everybody, and that's fine. So it is what it is, but yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's already stressing me out, like what's going to happen. It's like he trips over something and falls immediately into the plot, and suddenly you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Things are happening, and I don't like the things that are happening. Because it starts off, you know, the first book ends, and there's things that have happened that, I mean, the book's been out for fucking 10 years. It's happy endings all around. Mm-hmm. This book then comes in and immediately sweeps all the happiness from the first one away.
Oh, yeah.
because, you know, things just didn't go as we had hoped. And
you're Bill Murray in Groundhog's Day, yes, like 2 years in.
Yes. And so now it was depressing and sad. And those are the kinds of things I'm hoping it builds back up to something else good. But, you know, whatever. We'll see. I will report back on Ready Player 2 probably soon because I've been going through it pretty quick. The last thing I was going to talk about is, I don't know if emulation has been thus far available on the Apple iPhone, but I don't think that it has until now. There is an emulator that I got from the App Store called Delta Emulator, and it let me put all my backups of my already owned games,
right,
the ROMs, onto my phone and play those games, like the games we play for the show, on it without any problems. It was the easiest emulator I've ever set up. Now, it just does the Nintendo stuff, like Game Boy, NES, SNES, Game Boy Advance, you know, which is fine for me. That's all I really need it for, is Super Nintendo, mm-hmm, and occasionally the NES game that we play.
Right.
But I sold my Steam Deck because I never used it, even though it was brand new, the OLED model, you know.
Yeah.
I decided handheld gaming's not my thing. I like my Xbox, and if I'm going to do anything more than that, I've got a PC that I can use. But it was just collecting dust, and I figured I'd strike while the iron is hot and sell it, and I made back 90% of my initial investment, yeah, selling it. So it's not a big deal. But I did take some of the money I got back and invested in a Backbone controller for my iPhone.
Yeah, I like mine.
Which
I've got
is
one.
Great.
I like it.
Yeah, it's super nice. I can plug my phone in. It just turns my phone into a controller, and it's compatible with this Delta emulator. And so now I've got a way to play the games conveniently, mm-hmm, without having to have a $700, you know, device that I was literally only using for playing the games for the show.
Yeah.
To a point, it just wasn't useful to me. So that is a really good. So Delta Emulator, it's free, 100% free. There's no ads. There's no nothing. If you don't use the Backbone controller, it has like a really nice facsimile of the Super NES controller, like superimposed over the screen, mm-hmm, which works really well. So anyone interested, if you have an iPhone and you've thought about doing emulation, there's apparently a way to do it. Again, I don't know if it was a thing, but it was my understanding that iPhone's emulation wasn't readily available for the iPhone without sideloading it or having some kind of, you know,
jailbreak it or
jailbreak,
something.
Yeah. Which is never, ever, ever a good idea. So anyway, that's a good time investment, and honestly it just was like simple. I put the backups of my already owned games into my iCloud account, which is not a whole lot, you know, mm-hmm, they're small.
Yeah.
And told it where to find them. It loaded them all up. It shows the art. It's got a way to pause and do save states, fast forwards, all the stuff.
Cool.
And you can customize the buttons on either the screen control, or it sees the Backbone as a Backbone controller and lets you customize it.
Cool.
It's a neat little program. So
Delta
emulator.
Okay.
So for any of you interested, it's a fun little thing to try. It's probably out for Android as well, if I had to guess. But
yeah, I know there are a bunch on Android. I don't know what the best one is, but I mean,
Delta's super clean, super easy to use, low maintenance. I've had no issues with it.
Cool.
And, you know, I can't say that about some of the emulation software that I've used in the past. Setup and usage is complicated a lot of times. This was not. So, anyway, for those of you interested, that's what it is. And that's all I've got this week.
Let's see. So this weekend was the Venn diagram of Artsy AJ senior prom and Choco Chica's birthday. So it was slumber party, Friday, prom, after party, summer party, Saturday, birthday party, Sunday, cleaning, and then having my carpet ripped out to lay down hardwood today into recording. So it has been a fucking whirlwind of Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Sounds like it.
Did you take today off?
I did take today
off. Yeah, that's good.
Because I had to go, because we had picked out, I took today off, so then when Dad and the carpenter came over, got set up, and then my dad had to go to physical therapy, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go buy the flooring. So went to Home Depot where we found the flooring that we liked for the right price, went there, price had gone way up on the one in a week. So I asked the guy, I had a picture of it. I was like, can you match what you had last week? He's like, no, man, sorry, inflation. Okay, bye.
Yeah. So now you get no money from me.
Yep. And we'd originally looked at like matching what we had in, because when Anna moved out, we moved RCAJ into her room and redid that room completely, redid the bathroom because it had sprung a leak and rotted like the floor of my hall out.
Yeah, I remember that.
Redid that and put like a very light gray floor in there.
Like a laminate, like a vinyl laminate.
Yeah, planks.
Vinyl planks.
And we thought about, we'll just put this in the rest of the house. Well, that had gone even more up since we did that. Mm. So it's like, well, look what we can do. When Dad got a physical therapy and I showed him and he was like, I'll help you get something better. Here's your new budget. I was like, okay, cool. So we picked something out, went to go get Choco Chica because we took her to the mall while we were doing all this. And Melissa pulled up like TikTok. She's like, well, let's see like what kind of floors are in right now. What's going to add value to our house? And as soon as we popped up, it was like, don't put gray floors in your house. Ooh, gross.
Yeah.
No one wants that. That's super out. If you do, you probably live in the Midwest and your trends are 10 years behind.
It's true.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that was fortuitous.
Yeah. So I was like, what is going to add value? And it was sports, basically like the classical medium hardwood like look. I was like, well, that is pretty timeless. That's always going to go with everything. So we went to all the stores to pick something back out, finally found what we wanted. They were out everywhere of what we really wanted, so we had to go to second pick. So bought it. My carpet in my kitchen is now ripped up, fixing a hole and some other stuff. And
got to rip. You don't have carpet in your kitchen anymore?
No.
What fucking topsy-turvy world is this?
I know. It's fucked up.
That is nuts.
What are you going to do if you spill spaghetti sauce on a hardwood floor?
Same thing I did in the carpet. Just leave it. Because when I bought this house, it was the vacation house for the people who we sold it to in the third grade. And that carpet in there is Berber. Like they put, and that was trendy. I mean, these people are much, much older people.
Right.
Sure.
So the furniture in there, they put in super tight Berber carpet, which is like, you know, super, super, super tightly wound. It's almost like AstroTurf.
Pulling carpet is a pain in the ass. Yeah. I've done so much of that.
I've got a good carpenter who's like really good at it. He likes to demo is his thing. So he ripped it all up like that.
The tack strip always gets me too, and going around the edge. The
staples and stuff.
All the staples. Yeah. It's a job.
But they had like the Berber carpet and then like wicker everything. Wicker. It looked like it was just lawn furniture in their house.
Decorated it in the 90s.
Yeah.
White wicker?
Say what?
White wicker?
No, it was super, super, super dark wicker.
Dark? Okay, yeah. Dark wicker. Yeah. Okay.
And they priced it all out for me, which probably like 96% of what they paid for it. So I was like, nah, I'm good for your 30-year-old furniture that you want basically what you paid for it.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
But think about Berber being so, it's dense and tightly wound, you get it wet. Just it, man. Like, you can't, by the time it dries, it's soured.
Yeah.
So, like, you get anything on it, it just soaks it up. We would get the carpet cleaner and we realized, like, this just turns to sour milk. You can't clean it. We even call it.
That's great for kids.
Yeah, exactly. My five kids and my son who likes to dump out everything he finds. That is 100% his thing.
You're going to love it.
Because the carpet was, it was done.
Yeah.
You're going to love having hardwood floors in your house. It's so much easier to clean.
Yeah.
And keep clean. Yeah. And you get some rugs to accent the rooms mm-hmm. and stuff. You'll be loving that shit. We pulled up very similar carpet to that in the house we are in right now. And there were these like beautiful, just absolutely gorgeous antique parquet floors underneath the carpet.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And I was like, jackpot, you know, because that adds a shit ton of value just for the fact that it's being revealed.
Yeah.
And we're going to hopefully be able to get them like refinished and like, you know, because there's gaps and stuff. They're just old right, floors yeah. and they're, you know, but they look really good. So once we can get them refinished or whatever, we'll be fine. But we had to have an appraisal done recently because I was refinancing my mortgage and my house appraised for way more than I thought it was going to. And one of the things the guy that appraised the house said was these floors are awesome. He's like, this is one of the biggest selling points of this house. So yeah, having that kind of thing in there is not only good, but it does add value. It makes it so much easier to manage.
My dad's friend used to own the Service Master that was around here. He owned mm-hmm. like a few of them back when they were in town. We called him. We're like, so what's the best way to clean Berber carpet? And he's like, oh, you rip it out and throw it in the dumpster. You can't. Okay.
Congrats on your flooring.
Yeah. It's so far, it's just press board and wood in my kitchen right now. Right. So hopefully tomorrow.
Now you're doing like I'll the living work, room and back. The kitchen and everything.
Living room, kitchen, hallway. I'm going to keep the laminate that's in the laundry room. Yeah. There's no reason to do anything in there. And then the kids' rooms too.
Okay.
And I'm going to redo the bathroom. Because dad, whenever we pulled out, because we used to just have, it was just a shower. Like when Melissa got pregnant, it was like, okay, we need a bathtub. We can't have kids and then no bathtub.
Right.
So we ripped that out, put in the tub. There was like this ancient laminate in there anyway. So dad ripped that out and put down laminate in that. Well,
You're talking about linoleum?
It was, linoleum was in there.
Yeah, okay.
So we ripped that up and then put the laminate down.
Gotcha.
But whenever Jack destroyed that toilet putting things in it, because, you know, YouTube videos of people flushing from the toilet, he emulated that. So we had to rip that toilet out. So the toilet is sort of cattywampus and then it was the exact same dimensions as my other toilet. So there's like a gap in there in the laminate. So that got wet under there. So I think we'll rip that up and redo it around the new toilet.
It's a good idea. And plus it'll keep everything consistent throughout the house.
Only RTAJ's room will look different.
Okay. So. Big project.
Yeah. Yeah. But we've got a good handyman carpenter. So he's actually like, he's really cheap and he had a window if I started it today. So it's like, okay, yeah, done.
Today cool. It is. All right.
But beyond that, I don't know. You guys want to draft anything? You want to jump into the movie? Jump into the game?
We can start talking about movies and games if you like.
Sounds good.
Yeah. We don't even have to take a break unless y'all need to.
No, I'm good.
I'm good.
All right. Well, let's just keep trucking.
So now, drawing for the movie and game talk.
Movie and
this
game talk.
This movie. Did you guys watch the movie?
Yes.
Yes.
I was all about this shit. I was the perfect age range for Power Rangers.
How old are you?
I'm 39.
Okay. You're just several. You're
so I know seven. You were definitely at her age range, and you probably like just aged out whenever it was really popular.
Yeah, I remember watching the Power Rangers in fifth grade. About fifth grade, I think, is when it came out. And I remember kind of liking it, but I would watch it when I would get ready in the morning for school. And it
me
was
too.
One of those shows where it was like, if it was on, or if I thought to turn the TV on, like if there was time, I would watch it. But I wouldn't be upset if I missed it. You know, it wasn't like the Ninja Turtles were for me, where it was like, you know, got, well, you know, I want to watch this every day.
Right.
So, and then also fifth grade was weird, and it was like, it was super not cool to watch Power Rangers because, come on, guys, we're all fifth graders. What the fuck? Right. You know? So it's kind of one of those.
Time scenarios. To get money, get pussy. You're in fifth grade.
I mean, pretty much. That's kind of how it was in this fucking weird ass school. But yeah. So because of that, it was just kind of like, oh, okay. So yeah, I missed quite a bit of it. So I don't know when the movie came out in relation to when the show came out.
I'm not sure either, but
it was a little while. It was a little while. It was a couple of years, I want to say, because Gage was into him at that point, but he was a little dude. He was like 4 when this movie came out. So
Green Ranger was big when I was in like 4th, 5th grade. So, uh-huh.
So you're like 7 years older than Gage, mm-hmm. and he was into it, but I think it was bright flashing lights and colorful, sure. And pretty girls and kicking things, and you know he ran around the house doing all the moves and. Yeah, god damn it.
The movie came out in 95. I wanted to look it up.
So Gage would have been 3.
So I was 11.
Coming up on 4 when that movie came out.
I didn't even know that this movie existed until after we started the podcast and you had mentioned this movie. Mm-hmm. I knew there was a let me take that back. I knew there had been a Power Rangers movie, but I didn't know that. I didn't know who Ivan Ooze was, or like, I didn't know any of this stuff. And then when I was watching the movie for the show, they're like, so the Power Rangers are here. I don't know that guy. I don't know that girl. I don't know that guy. It's like, yeah. What the fuck?
It's not with the original cast. Right. It's the first cast change is the movie.
Oh, really? Yeah. So when the show picked up after the movie,
changed the cast like shortly before the movie.
I see. Okay.
Here's
because there's a small gap where the others left and Amy Jo Johnson stayed as the Pink Ranger.
Because she's in the movie.
She's in the movie. She didn't stay much longer after that.
She won that movie money.
Yeah, she got the movie money, then went to Felicity.
So. Oh, really? Okay.
So, yeah, I watched this movie we owned it on VHS.
This doesn't surprise me if your son loved it.
I never watched it once. Not once. Because I never... The
you
first
asked
time
if you wanted to come over and watch it on VHS.
I watched.
Is that how you rewatched it? Please tell me.
I don't have a VCR, unfortunately.
I can hook you up.
I never gave much of a crap about it because the first time I saw it on TV, I was like, "This is Ultraman. I've seen this. This is just a rehash
of the week.
This is
Ultraman.
5 team. Ultramen." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I watched Ultraman when I was little. So I was like, I don't need, I, you know, I kind of wasn't, I was like, I outgrew this kind of stuff. But yeah. And I thought, well, she's cute and he's kind of handsome and I get it. You know, I understand why it was what the big deal that it was. And that there's nothing but love for Power Rangers, mm-hmm. but I just personally didn't care for it. What pissed me off, what got my fucking hackles up, was I finally sat down to watch this movie. Fortunately, I did not have to pay to watch it.
It's free on YouTube.
If you know what I mean.
I do.
I didn't. Is it free on
it's
YouTube?
It's free on YouTube.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
That's nice. That's where I watched it. That's right. I forgot. It was free on YouTube. That's where I watched it. What got my fucking hackles up was I do remember the hype around this fucking movie.
Oh, fuck yes.
It was the biggest fucking thing of the year. Every kid in Gage's world was talking about it. Mm-hmm. It was all over TV. It's like every other commercial was new toys and new this and promotions at restaurants. It was everywhere. And again, I didn't see the fucking thing. And Gage was too little to take to the movie theater at that point to expect him to sit still.
Sure.
But it didn't take long to come out on VHS. And I think when it came out on VHS is when...
There were so many Power Rangers VHS.
He really got
really?
Into
so
it.
So many. Yeah.
And
like movies? Like
no, just the TV
home?
Shows. 3 episodes per VHS.
Oh,
they
I
sold
see.
VHS
oh, wow.
tapes.
So I tuned in. I watched this movie. And the first thing that got to me, and it stuck with me, and it just pissed me off, was that the quality of the movie was no different than the TV show.
I know.
The frame rate, the camera,
the lighting
style, the lighting, it was an hour and 15 minute long
of the show.
Episode of the show. And I was so fucking mad because it's like, you motherfuckers made hundreds of millions of dollars on this movie.
Oh, Saban is a fucking asshole and piece of shit.
You could not have bothered to use real fucking movie cameras and real special effects. And no, fuck that. They're all going to come see this movie. They're all going to buy the lunch boxes and the fucking toys and everything else. So fuck this.
And
we're not putting
new toys because you got new Zords. So it's a whole new crop of bullshit.
The only thing we're going to do differently is pay for licensed music to be played nonstop throughout this movie.
Soundtrack's fucking fire.
Soundtrack's great. It's Red Hot Chili Peppers, Higher Ground. We've got
crazy.
Van Halen.
It's insane.
It's a great soundtrack.
I told Nikki, I was like, they spent the most on the music. That's the biggest piece of
the
budget.
It's the only thing that cost them any money. Yeah, exactly.
Because you're right. I mean, it shot just like the show, which was jarring to me at first.
Me too. I thought something was wrong.
Yeah.
You and I watched it on YouTube.
Well, like I commented, like the sound effects guy, they paid him overtime because sound effects guy was fucking working hard the whole goddamn movie.
Yeah. And oh my God.
Every two seconds.
So the movie itself was about what I expected, and it didn't disappoint or
it's by the numbers.
It's exactly what it was supposed to be. All I wanted him to do was put some quality to it and make it a cinematic experience and not some daytime Canadian TV level. TV show quality movie it was blurry, and
their suits are shiny now and not just like
y'all could have done just about anything to make this better, and they chose not to. So
on one hand though, I think it's cool. Like, I agree with you because I was really like put off with it looking the way that it looked, because it does look exactly like the show. But the more I watched it, the more I was like, it's kind of cool that they do that, because it's like it has exactly the same feel as what the kids are used to. Because I remember going, and I love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, but like I remember, like that's jarring going from animation to like live action.
I can see that. I can see that.
There are also some other things where it's like, yeah, I should have come prepared and had a good example.
Oh, you're good. No.
But when it's like this huge jump in quality for a movie,
listen,
and then you're like, okay, that was cool. I guess we go back to this on TV now.
I can give you a good.
And there are plenty of those where stuff you never see or hear of ever again.
Sure.
Like those suits, no, they don't go. They go
one
back.
Shot.
They're just the regular latex shitty suits. There's a part where they're fighting the ooze mooks, where they have all these weapons, like this tongue thing.
I know,
like,
right?
Never had them before. Never see them again. They're never mentioned. Like, I don't know what the fuck that was.
It's just Power Rangers.
Never happens ever again. Yeah.
Power Rangers : The Fever Dream.
Now, are you?
I can give you an example of something that the jump in quality being so extreme.
Please.
Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Okay.
So they never shot that in high def. It just wasn't a thing. In fact, they didn't even start shooting, I think it was Voyager, before Star Trek TV shows started being in high def, because of the time period.
Sure. I assume they just shot it digitally. It wasn't shot on film or.
Yeah. And Next Gen is 4:3. It's a square,
right?
You know, like this movie was. And when the first Next Generation movie came out, it was called Generations. Of course, it was a widescreen, obviously high resolution, superior quality film where you see the Enterprise that you've been seeing on TV up in super high def detail. That was jarring in a way. It was overwhelming to get used to seeing all these characters in this extreme detail and this much better sound quality, much better video and digital, all the effects were better. You know, everything was better, and it was awesome, but it was
different.
Yeah. It took a minute to cope with.
Sure.
What I was seeing, because I had been watching 7 years of, or six and a half, 5 or 6 years, because the movie came out before the series actually ended. But the point being was that was
used to
a crazy big difference. And mm-hmm. I could see how, you know, I could see if we're making excuses
Because, I mean,
for kids, I could see it being overwhelming for kids. And even some kids of a certain age would be like, this isn't Power Rangers.
Right.
This isn't. So I could definitely see how that would be a decision. Didn't make me feel any better about
right.
it. But I could see it. Sorry. You were going to ask Tyler something, I think.
Yeah, about the Zords. Now, you said, like, the weapons and stuff.
Mm-hmm. They have their own weapons. But they had these new, very different weapons in the movie that,
okay,
again, that you never see before or after.
I like that. Like, I like that Frog Zord, because when you mentioned tongue, that's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, I mean that was cool, like, because then they started selling the new toys, cool. And then in the series they had those new Zords, because that was so
like
Saban's,
a transition thing.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. was Saban's whole thing, is he would buy the clips of Super
Sentai,
dirt cheap. And so all he had to do was just build the Angel Grove set, pay these kids to do voiceovers and act for 5 minutes, maybe
do some
20-minute
light
episode.
Tumbling.
Yeah, and that's it.
Yeah.
So Power Rangers was incredibly cheap to produce.
Yeah.
Bryan Cranston got that Bryan Cranston episode.
Oh, that's here. So then what they would do, and it was a hard sell to. Publishers, like, I don't think this side of Fox was a very big production company. They were just in a few places until they finally, like, no one wanted Power Rangers. No one would buy it. Fox bought it, and it fucking exploded. So it helped make that part of Fox Media what it is, because it was so huge. And of course, but by doing what he did, he painted himself into a corner, because every season of that show in Japan is a whole different set of rangers, different set of animals, different set of everything. So then it's like, he had to eventually explain the transition. So the first one was like the movie transitioned, because, you know, they had to, yeah. Cause that way then they could explain everything being different, and eventually the actors and the Power Rangers dying, and the next thing going, the next generation coming in and out. So then that's how they would do a big production like that to finally transition between the different swaps. But even then, one season is like 200 something episodes. Like, he had a ton of dirt cheap shit to work with. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to change it all that much. Like, even now there aren't, I mean, there are a lot of different iterations of Power Rangers, but not a whole lot for as long as the show's been going on. Like, the show's like, they're still doing shit. I'm 39. I started watching it when I was like 10.
Right. It's still going on?
Yeah.
I believe, to my knowledge, I think there's still some iterations of it.
We were scrolling through the channels on YouTube TV the other day, and Saban's Power Rangers was on. It was in like 2018.
They did a reunion on Netflix, like, where Power Rangers Now and Forever, where basically they couldn't get all, I mean, some of them are dead now, but like half of the first cast and half of the second cast came together. And
I know one person in particular that didn't show up for the reunion because he's in jail.
Oh,
Tommy.
Oh, the stabby guy?
No, Tommy's dead. Jason is in jail.
Jason is the one in jail. Oh, okay.
Jason David Frank was in, and he was the original Green Ranger. He's like in Historia, the greatest ranger of all time, because he's in like five different iterations. He was chosen to be a ranger like five different times.
Uh-huh.
And he was even like an MMA fighter, and like he's like a legitimate martial artist.
Right.
But then
he's also a legit murderer or whatever.
Well,
did he do it with the flute?
Well, Tommy, he killed himself a few years ago. I don't know all the details around it. It was very hush hush.
Yeah, I knew that.
But Jason. Did like it was some sort of like embezzling scheme and like abuse against his wife, like as a whole bunch of
shit. Oh, wait, you were saying which one was the legit?
Jason's the Red Ranger, the first Red Ranger.
Which one are you saying was the legitimate MMA fighter?
Green
Tommy?
Ranger. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah, and Tanya mentioned to me.
Oh yeah,
reminded me that there's that a Red Ranger was in jail. Was
fucked. Yeah, he is in prison.
I knew one of them. Yeah, it went wild like that. I didn't know which one. I had no idea about the Green Ranger.
Trini, who's the original Yellow Ranger, she left the series, but then died in a car accident like right after she left the show. But Zach, and then the Blue Ranger, played by David Yost, they did not have a good time. Like
you had talked about this before about Billy. Because he's homosexual, Billy's right?
Gay. Yeah.
And they gave him a lot of trouble over that. God.
Man, I felt bad for Billy in the movie because like there's a point where Ivan Ooze is like, I smell something.
Teenagers.
I'm like, not Billy. He's fucking 40.
I smell
more wrinkles than me.
I smell four teenagers and an adult.
And then I was even like, okay,
do any of these children need help?
Right.
Were they actually teenagers when they did the show?
There's no
good way, because Amy Jo Johnson's hot, and I didn't want to sound creepy by saying I like looking at her and I like looking at Aisha.
She was on my watch,
and I
about the Kimberly watch,
yeah,
so I could look at her.
They knew what they were doing with her in costume because they were like, "Do we have any shorts that are shorter?" And then in the video game on the SNES, they're like, "Let's make those shorts knee, like they need to go down to the knee."
Well, she's just wearing a skirt. She's the only Ranger that has a skirt on in the original series. And I wondered because like, has there ever been a male pink Ranger?
Yeah.
Yes, there have been two, but they're runs in the comics. Even if it's a male, he still has
the Jericho Hill
stuff.
He still
has the skirt. Yeah. Pink Ranger, Fall of Gilead. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really disappointing to me when I was reading the Power Ranger novels and they mentioned the death of the Pink Ranger just offhandedly, casually.
I also like Dulcea. She was nice to look at.
I laughed out loud whenever she came on board, like Xena Warrior Princess. She's a combination of Xena and Gabrielle.
Right.
And then when she unhooks her tube and just starts twirling the stick.
So she
the sound stick.
You have it a pool of a hollow tube.
That whole scene reminded me of it was a complete ripoff of the Jawas and Obi-Wan or the Sand People.
Yeah,
and Obi-Wan shows up and makes the noise. Yeah. And she was even wearing an Obi-Wan cloak and then comes down and then starts twirling her little batons to make the noise to drive off the bird things, whatever they were. But she was nice to look at.
She and Ivan, I'm convinced that they fucked in some other iteration because they say, Ivan, she's, oh, you guys leave. You're awful. We got to follow Ivan Ooze. Ivan Ooze. And even when they go back after they get the power, like, how do they get this? Dulcea. It's like,
bitch owes me money.
She poked a hole in a condom.
Yeah. I've been paying her child support for several millennia.
My ooze was not contained.
I've told you everybody knows my parents were not movie people.
Right.
They didn't take me. But my aunt, on the other hand, for my birthday, she would give me good for you and a friend, go to a movie with snacks. Nice. So I held on to that until this came out. This was one of my uses of
that. Nice. I'm glad you got to go see it.
Probably my better use of it because my other one was The Indian in the Cupboard, which was not
a good cinematic experience.
But I there's not an SNES.
Yeah, because it was my favorite book as a kid.
Yeah, that was a great book.
Absolutely.
I
read all four of them. I love the fucking series.
There's not an SNES.
It went off the rails hard.
I don't think so.
I don't want to watch Indian in the Cupboard again.
Indian in the Cupboard, because it was cool whenever you turn the key, you know, the figures come out of it. But then, like, you know, book three and four, well, it's not the cupboard, it's the key.
Right.
So they figure out, like, okay, we'll just put Omri in a closet and lock it with the key, and he goes somewhere and becomes small. Yeah. And now there's a mannequin of him in the closet. Fuck you.
I don't know how many of those books there are, but I remember reading at least like three of them.
Yeah.
And then it like got into those I don't know. I learned about skinheads because of those books. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like, well, I mean, I guess it's good that I have this knowledge, but also,
you could see in my collection where the first one is in fucking tatters. I've read it so many times. The second one, pretty tattered. Third one, a little wear and tear. Fourth one, fucking pristine. I read it once. It was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Use it on my shelf.
There's a 1995 Windows video game for Indian in the Cupboard.
Okay.
Oh. If anybody is interested in that. Right. Published by Viacom.
Viacom.
But I fucking love the show of this movie. As a kid, going back, it's a bad movie.
It is a really bad movie.
I feel like it's not as good as the regular series, even.
Because it's so long.
It's long, I think, and it's schlocky. It's segment. Ivan Ooze, I think Ivan Ooze is a great villain.
He's a great villain, and he had good makeup.
I thought that was good.
I liked it.
The
fine.
CG is hilarious, and I liked it because it was so funny.
Yeah.
It was like that, like, I can't remember. Was it a Adult Swim show? The Gabriel CG. It was horrible CG. I'll look it up. Xavier or something like that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. But it reminded me of that because when I was watching the movie, I was like, was this good then? Like, was it impressive then? I really don't know.
I remember being impressed by it. But,
well, right. But it works for the kids, right? And that's really all that matters. But it kind of reminded me of, like, you remember the Snoop Dogg video where, like, remember when morphing was really big?
Yes.
And it was like that Snoop Dogg video, like, everybody in the video is like morphing into a dog.
Black or white.
Yeah, the black and white Michael Jackson
video. Over and over. But this was also about the time that I was getting jaded to Power Rangers because I hated the White Ranger. Fucking hated the White Ranger. I just wanted the Green Ranger back. Fuck this White Ranger, White Tiger bullshit. Give me the Dragon Zord, badass Green Ranger again.
Yeah.
Going back, it is just like, the show is better. This was clearly a cash grab.
Definitely.
That wasn't super thought out. I thought the costuming was fine.
This is Xavier Renegade Angel.
Holy shit.
that's what Ivan Ooze reminded me of. The CG did, at least.
Nice. Oh, yeah. I mean, they did kill him in a very different way than they do to any other villain in the fucking series. So,
yeah. I kind of forgot the ending of this movie because I watched it a week ago. And
when you were in the throes of...
I was good. I was okay. Yeah. I was fine. It was just, I just think that this movie is super forgettable.
Yeah.
It really is.
Even the ninja costumes and.
I remember the Frog Zord like shooting a tongue out and wrapping its tongue around the leg. And I was like, that's the best part of the movie.
These things that could end the universe.
I know. Right.
I was working at the time when I watched this one and I tuned out of some of it because I couldn't get into it.
Yeah. It's not for me.
Because Zordon is...
Yeah, exactly.
Zordon is an extra-dimensional good entity in a sea of bad. So everybody hates Zordon. There's not a lot of good people in the Power Rangers universe.
It was nice that his grandma let him borrow his shawl to die in. every time the camera was on him, I was like... They gotta get him out of that turtleneck.
He's in Grandma Adams' her clothes.
Yeah.
So like he's like the prime enemy of so many like universal threats. Eventually somebody, I don't know who does it, seals him away between universes. So the most he can do is manifest in that tube, sort of shadowy between dimensions and eke out parts of his power to make the Rangers.
Yes.
Yes. So that's why. It also doesn't make any sense that he appears when they smash the...
I was confused because I was...
He's not trapped in there.
Yeah, Nikki watched this with me, and I was like, has he always been in that tube? Like, they just didn't let him out?
Because like at the... when there is like a big end to a lot of the series before it turns into like comics and specials and stuff like that. But the end of the big series is like all the universal threats are coming together to kill everything. So Zordon's like, all right, you gotta break my tube. And there's one Ranger left. All the others are gone. So he goes through a gauntlet of everything to get to Zordon, smashes his glass, releases Zordon's positive energy that like turns everybody good, and Zordon's finally dead, and it's over. The threat's ended for now. So, yeah, for him to just, like, crack it, old man's in a pile of crystals, it's bullshit.
I remember the part of the movie where at one point Rita Repulsa and the other one are, like, cheering for the Power Rangers.
Right,
because
they're
the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing, you know, whatever. But, yeah, and they're, like, cheering for him. And I just know that that had to have been a what-the-fuck moment for...
Yeah.
A lot of kids when they went to see it. It's like, wow, this Ivan Ooze guy must really be bad.
Yeah, because Ivan is somebody Zordon sealed away and in Earth 6,000 years ago in an egg. And Zed and Rita free him, and he's stronger than them. Fuck him up.
And put him in the sewer.
Yep.
Put that egg in the sewer.
With his two things buried right beside him.
I thought that was weird.
He's got all these huge powers, but he enslaves the parents to slowly mine them away.
They'll walk off a cliff.
And they'll never...
Even as a kid, I thought, like, that slime is gross. Why would kids ever want to play with slime like this?
I like the commercial for the slime.
Cue my children.
I know, right? Kids are fucking crazy with slime, man.
That's what Choco Chica did for her birthday. We bought her stuff and her parents made slime when she's 15.
Man.
It's been going on for like 6 years now. Yeah, all about that fucking slime.
It's been longer than that. Trust me. We've had several instances of some form of slime.
If Ivan Ooze
came
up now, like, we'd be fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, especially, put a YouTube, like an influencer between Ivan Ooze and the kids to push the slime. Yeah. It's fucking over.
Markiplier fucking pushing Ivan Ooze.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I forgot about all that. It was because, like, that was so. You would think that would be memorable to me because it's so ridiculous. But because I was so honestly dismissive of it being pretty fucking stupid, I just didn't remember it. Because those parents, man, when they're like lemmings and they're like walking, and it's like, you know, everything's going to be okay. It's like, there's no.
You're not going to, like, slaughter the
parents.
You're
not gonna see a bunch of parents like jump off a cliff.
Right.
It's just not gonna happen. So it's kind of like, okay, I don't even have to think about this. I know this problem's gonna be solved some way. One small child is probably gonna take care of this. Oh, that's what happened.
Yeah, okay, great. Pretty much.
The kid in this movie, the small child, did he actually eventually become a ranger later on in the series?
I do know in Power Rangers Turbo, where all the Zords are cars. There is a kid there is a kid like that. Yeah, I didn't like it either. There is a kid who is much younger like him. Whenever he morphs, he turns into like an adult, like Link to adult Link.
Gotcha. So, okay.
I don't know if it's him or not, though.
Okay. I was just curious because, you know, there's that thing at the end where essentially they're like, he says something like, I'll never be a ranger like you guys. And they're like, just keep it up,
just
little
keep
buddy.
Trying,
little
you buddy. Were next in line.
No, right.
Excuse us while I wait to watch through this giant fireworks display.
I mean, canonically, you're four.
Feel on the Pink Ranger.
Which canonically, you're 3 years younger than us because we're 18 and you're 15.
And Billy's fucking on Social Security.
But yeah, because Ivan Ooze, universal level threat, puts a magic spell in slime for kids to get for their parents, put them in a zombie-like form so they come and will mine out his universal ending robots that were buried with him while he relaxes on some rocks. And then when they're on Earth, he tells them to all jump off a cliff, and they have to all the kids have to spray them with water to get them from not jumping off the cliff.
Right.
And the Power Rangers get their new Zords because Ivan Ooze gives them the business, takes away their power. They have to get new Zords, new powers. They go do it. They come back.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite Zord? Does anybody, are we all frog guys?
I guess.
Of this new, of the ones in this movie,
the frog Zord's
the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because Adam didn't like being a frog.
Right.
Like, everybody else liked their powers.
But you're just like a handsome prince when you get to kiss. It's like
not noble, like, or agile. Like,
you're just goofy, little frog boy. You. But he is the only one that got kissed by Dulcea.
That is true.
So he's got that going for him.
That is true.
Which is nice.
That is.
I was about to say, but. I mean, all in all, yeah, it's a shitty movie. I don't recommend going back to it. I mean,
I look, man, when I watched this, I was like, this is more entertaining than some of the movies that I've watched for the show.
Yeah.
And also, I just know that it's not a movie that was made for a man my age to watch.
This is true.
And that was the lens I tried to continue to view it through, because everyone knows it sucks, but it isn't for us. It's for the kids, and if the kids liked it, that's okay. It's fine. It was safe and fun, and
I don't think kids go back to it now.
Henry did not stick around.
Yeah,
he was out fast, and I was like, "Don't you want to?" Okay, he was not having it. And then like a little bit later, while we're watching the movie, he came out and like looked at the TV, and then like just went right back to his room, and it was like Zord stuff. And I was like, "Man, if the Zord, if he ain't clicking with the Zord shit,
it ain't happening.
It ain't happening for sure."
So okay, from this movie, supposedly there is a game.
Sure.
Right. Well, there is a game that does have that shares a title with the title of the movie.
But I'd never played the game. I had the first Power Rangers as a kid. My parents bought it for me. Loved the shit out of that game. It's a super basic, super easy, but somewhat charming beat 'em up. Never played this. I heard it was better, but never played it.
I like the beat 'em up better, honestly. I mean, I know we're not to that point yet, but I mean, so the game is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers : the movie, mm-hmm. not to be confused with Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, mm-hmm. which we've already done an episode on, or Mighty Morphin Power Rangers : the Fighting Edition, which we have not done an episode on.
It's the only one. 4 Power Rangers games on the SNES.
Mm-hmm. And then, the racing Power Rangers Zeo, which was just an awful experience.
It's a bottom
100 for me, for sure. Potentially a bottom 50. I mean, that was a really bad experience. Okay, so the game came out in 1995. There's some names on here that I'm like, okay, Natsume developed the game. They're the Pocky and Rocky folks. They also developed the other Power Rangers beat 'em up that we played. And it was published by Bandai. And it's like, okay, all right. I'm down for this. Let's check it out. I turned it on, and I did not love it. I know we're not.
I wanted to love it.
I did too.
I wanted to enjoy, because on paper, this looks like it should be a lot better than the other one.
I agree. But I don't think that it is. Yeah. I think it's a very tedious game, is what it was my experience with it. It is a side-scrolling beat 'em up. They try to change things up by having lanes that you can jump to and mm-hmm. from.
Yeah, you use your left and right or right shoulder button, and you flip to the top or the bottom of the screen.
Right, which is like Fatal Fury does that in fighting game form, and I think it works a lot better in a fighting game because it's all that mechanic in a fighting game is always there. My problem with it in Power Rangers, the movie, the game, was that sometimes you could do it, sometimes you couldn't do it. And when I couldn't do it, I felt like I was being handicapped. I mean, like, I felt like I was being restricted.
I love in the instruction booklet, you have Power Ranger mode and teenager mode.
Okay, no, I didn't read the instruction booklet. So what's the difference?
You just suck in teenager mode.
Oh, right. You're talking about like before you morph?
Yeah, I just thought it was weird. You were like normal person, you morph. No, there's teenager mode specifically.
Which smells, apparently. As you're walking through the game, you pick up little shards of power, and it charges up a power meter, at which point when it's full, you can morph into the appropriately colored ranger. You can pick from any of the Rangers, which is nice. It's a two-player mode. It has a two-player mode.
That is good.
Which is a good feature. Always good for a beat 'em up.
And I honestly probably would have enjoyed this a lot more had I been playing it with somebody else. Yeah.
All right. So we did get an email about this from Brad.
Okay.
And I'd like to read the article, the letter from Brad and the article, just as sort of the setup for the game. That'll help us describe things a little bit. This is Brad's email. It says, Ian and Tyler and Dave. T's and P's is thoughts and prayers, although now it'll permanently be known as tits and pussies in my internal monologue, so thank you for that. Power Rangers gets 4 out of 5 all around from GamePro. Sounds promising. This game is reviewed alongside the first round of Sega Saturn releases, so it's a late SNES game. I miss beat 'em ups. Here's the final verdict with the full review. So, this is the GamePro review of Power Rangers, the movie, the game. Thanks to their fanatic fans, last year's Power Rangers SNES cart was a big hit. I'm assuming they're referring to the first Power Rangers game.
Yeah, I assume so. That came out in 94.
Right, okay. This newest game is an improvement over the first with better graphics, the updated Power Rangers two-player simultaneous fighting, and the theme from this summer's Power Rangers flick, Ranger Dangers. As in the movie, the Rangers are trying to track down Ivan Ooze and destroy him in his deadly fortress. The 7 stages of side-scrolling hack-and-slash beat-em-up action include romps through the city streets, battle on top of an airfield, and even some snowboarding action.
Remember that movie where they fought Ivan Ooze while they were snowboarding directly into surfing?
I think it was from when the White Ranger jumps out of the plane in the parachute, and he's the only one that has a snowboard on his feet. Yeah. What the fuck ever that? I don't know what that was about.
Fans, it was a weird way to start a movie.
That's what
it?
They played Higher Ground for the Chili Peppers over. Okay, so which is a cover of a Stevie Wonder song. Mm-hmm. Now my gatekeeping ends and the reading resumes.
Right, Ernest Cline.
Yeah, exactly. God, I've been. That's what it is.
Explain your reference, Ernest Cline.
That's what it is. Now I have to like cite every reference.
Year it came out or anything. Like if this was an Ernest Cline novel, you'd be like Stevie Wonder's came out in 19. 19-
also in Ready Player Two and Ready Player One, everything was Halliday's favorite thing. It was everything. Every reference he made was Halliday's favorite, whatever he was referring to. Anyway, fans will note that the Ranger configuration this time around includes the blue, yellow, red, pink, black, and white Rangers. No more Green Ranger. Players can choose to play as any Ranger, and they can swap Rangers with each new stage or continue. Each Ranger has a simple repertoire of moves. They can punch and kick from standing, crouching and jumping positions, and their own signature move. The moves are simple to execute, and the controls are easy enough for even the youngest Power Ranger fans.
And the signature move appears to just be an uppercut.
Yeah. There's like a body blow kind of thing that Kimberly does, I think. I don't know. But
they get really, like when they're in their morphed form, I feel like is when they start to play a little differently because they use their weapons and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And they're more powerful too.
Right. Oh yeah, for sure.
Bigger hits for bigger damage. Large, classy Ranger sprites, ample putties, and other
ample putties. I love an ample putty.
Other assorted Ranger enemies like Mirror Maniac are nicely complemented with visuals like a snazzy Morphin Zap that uses the real Ranger's digitized images, which was cool.
Yes.
That was the digitized images of the individual Rangers when you morph.
Right.
They come on screen and they're holding their badge and it's like, that actually looked really good.
They're morphing and their power coin, Ian. It all comes power from coins. The power coin.
Sorry, their badges is the wrong terminology.
They're not badges. Cops.
Come on, man.
This is a Wheatley. I mean, they sort of are cops. Goddammit.
They're like universal cops. I'll give you that, but it's not a badge.
They're coins.
There's an iteration of Power Rangers where they are cops, though, but it's not.
But they don't carry badges. The action in most stages happens on two planes, and the Ranger hops back and forth via the right and left triggers. This effect adds depth to what would otherwise be pretty two-dimensional backgrounds. The sounds are tinny, but you get the trademark theme music and a nice assortment of explosive sound effects. Not that exciting, but fans of the show would not have it any other way. The gameplay is slightly tougher in this game, but it's still easy enough for the Ranger's main audience to handle. A hard mode makes this game a decent romp for the intermediate gamer, but the game's most fun as game is most fun as a two-player simultaneous battle. All in all, Power Rangers gets the thumbs up. Great license, good gameplay, and a little something to please everyone. Power up! And there's several pro tips, but you get the idea. They gave it a solid 4.5 across the board, which is a good score.
It's a good score
for a game in the Game Pro rating system.
Like on paper, it should have been, but I don't think it's as charming or as fun as the original.
I just got
it's
bored weird. With it.
It was
I mean,
boring.
I was like 45 minutes into it, and I was like, fuck, I put an hour into these games, but I was like, man, I'm ready for this to be over. Mm-hmm. Not because it's terrible, not because I'm not having fun. It's just boring.
It's repetitive.
It's repetitive.
And I didn't, I was terrible at it. I couldn't hit things right. I felt like sometimes the damage that I was getting inflicted upon me was too much.
Yeah.
And what I really hated was the fact that, like,
you only had 5 hits.
I know.
You had
a
lot more than the other one.
Yeah. And I didn't like how infrequently health came to you.
Yeah.
And what I really hated was the fact that when you morph into the Power Ranger, your health doesn't refresh. So if you have one hit and you change into the Ranger and then you get hit, you fucking die.
Yep.
And that's that. And it was nice that you stayed a Power Ranger after death. You didn't have to like level up again.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of neat, I guess. But it was frustrating that your health doesn't refresh. I feel like there should have been more opportunities to bump up your health, or that the hits should have been less powerful and give you a fighting chance. Because, I mean, I barely got through the second
It's a more difficult game than the first one.
I agree, 100%. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first game feels real breezy. I mean, it's like... And
I had fun playing through every single character. Yeah.
Because exactly. You play as different characters. I feel like they play way different in the first game, and they play more similarly. Like the cast all kind of feels samey in the second game. Where in the first one, I mean, like I remember the bow and arrow and like, you know what I mean? Like there's like some real difference. But I mean, yeah, I got bored with it, and it's like not because it was I didn't find it to be super easy. I would actually get like the bosses. I didn't like the bosses because it's like you only have those 5 hits.
Right.
And it's like you're just dealing with whatever health you have when you get to the boss. That airfield level is, I don't know if you guys played that one. That sucks because it's like it takes a long time to get through because there's like wind physics and stuff in the beginning. And it's not the kind of game. It's the kind of game where you like have to defeat all the enemies and then you get to move on.
Yeah.
Which I get it. It's Power Rangers. You want it to focus on like fighting and battle. Yeah. But like when you're doing it the second time, it's like, fuck, man, I just want to get back to this boss.
The boss fights were fun. The boss fights were varied and different.
They were varied. They were varied.
I didn't like the second one. The second one drove me a little crazy.
You have to be really precise with that boss.
It took way too long because your window to hit him was very small. It was a drag. The rest of them, like the first one where you had to see, he would mirror you on both sides.
Okay, cool.
So it sounds to me like we have another case of what we experienced with American Tail, Five Goes West, which is lackluster level play, but interesting boss fights.
Yeah, it's similar in that regard. Yeah.
But I think the biggest point is this must have been a finished sequel. The movie comes out. God, just the revenue's on the end.
Right, it's the
boss. Because this has nothing to do with... None of the bosses are in the movie. There are no putties in Power Rangers the movie. It's all Ivan Ooze's mooks.
Yeah.
And they never make an appearance.
I know.
Because I was watching somebody... I was watching a review... where somebody was talking about, remember that time, you know, all the kids were on top of an airship fighting Fenusa's mirror minion? Like, I mean, nothing at all. And you don't, when they morph, it's not the new animals, it's the old ones.
I know, right?
Yeah. So it no sense. It was just a cash grab for the movie, which kind of pisses me off. Like, if you really wanted to, I mean, lean into the new stuff, have the ninja form, have
It was a cash grab.
Last minute.
For another cash grab. Boss.
Remember when they fought Ivan Ooze in the flesh? You know, no. Yeah, that didn't happen. So, right.
Yeah. So did you play this game? Like, when's the first time you played this game?
No, this is the first time I played this game.
This is the first time you played it. Yep. Okay. Because I was really curious where it's like...
It was so late in the SNES's life cycle, I guess I'd already moved on to PlayStation, so...
Yeah. It's one of those where I played plenty of games growing up as a kid where it had nothing to do with the movie, but I still liked it because I was, you know, just a dumb kid.
Yeah.
It's like, well, this has... a gremlin on the box. So like, but Gremlins 2 on the NES is actually a legit good game.
Right.
So that was a bad example, but there's so many Bart versus fucking Space Mutants. Horrible game. Mm. I rented that fucking game so many times. Mm-hmm. Guys, it had Bart in the game. I don't know if you knew that. I know that's not based on a movie, but my point is like, there was definitely a time in my life where, like...
The marketing would get to you.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's related to something you know.
Right.
And it's fun to see the things that you know and like in a game.
Yeah, and that definitely doesn't work right now, Fortnite, or anything.
No, not at all, Overwatch.
But neither one of these games are nice to Billy in any way at all.
Oh, I know,
Billy's
right?
Just the weird, like...
Was he throwing volleyballs or something in this game? What was that?
I don't know.
Are there supposed to be bombs?
He's in SpongeBob's square pants, like, because he's just a box of overalls. I think there's one episode where he wears overalls in the original series, but he's always in overalls in the game.
It's
like your aunt hearing you say that one thing you like, and that's your birthday present forever, for the rest of your life.
Forever. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, did you guys have any achievements for this game?
I had a few. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My first achievement is it's morphin' time. And to get it's morphin' time, you collect power shards, morph into a Power Ranger, and then immediately flip using the shoulder button into an oncoming motorcycle or car and die.
Yeah.
A lot of times they would have cars or motorcycles,
honk,
riding across the level. And I would almost always flip. For some reason, I would get the message, and I would flip. And I did that once after I got powered up to the Power Ranger and immediately died as a Power Ranger. So that's my first achievement.
Who did you play as? I'm curious. As Kimberly?
Yeah.
Tyler?
I played as Kimberly and Aisha.
Okay.
I played as Tommy and Billy.
I played as Tommy. And then I tried the Red Ranger for like a little bit after that. Cause I was like, I'm kind of bored. Will this make it better? You know? And it was like, not really.
Tommy and Rocky are basically the same. Yeah.
I should have gone something like Kimberly. Where
Kimberly had a really good high kick.
Yeah.
And almost like a Blanca style, like, punch.
Okay.
When she was morphed into a Power Ranger, it was like a spinning, like a Ryu spinning uppercut kind of thing, or Ken. But it was this weird kind of rake move that she had. But she was pretty good.
I'm sorry. The biggest detriment of this game over the first one is there's no Zord mode. In the first one, the best part is at the end, where suddenly it becomes a fighting game where you're in your Zord.
I forgot about that.
Fighting the other bosses. And that was awesome. That's a great way to end that game.
Right, and to leave that out.
It's just left out. It's fucking left out.
It's a huge oversight. It's one of the big things about Power Rangers. And
it
is
stupid that
we don't need it.
A Zord appears in the very last second of the game when it saves your Power Ranger. That's it.
My next achievement is on Wednesdays we wear pink. And to get on Wednesdays we wear pink, play the game on Wednesday as Kimberly and beat it.
Nice.
My final achievement is your feebleness is staggering, which is an Ivan Ooze quote from the movie. That's right. I quoted Ivan Ooze. To get your feebleness is staggering, give up after dying several times on the first level, which pretty much is what I did. I lost interest really super quickly in this one. It just wasn't doing as we've established over the last several years. I don't care for beat 'em ups as it is.
I like them,
and I know you love them a
lot.
And
this isn't for me.
And I just didn't like this game. I see, again, kind of like with the movie, I see its value. I can see some of the good things about it, yeah. But it just wasn't for me.
I think it was a really good looking game.
Yeah, it looked great.
You know what my reviews was to my aunt after I saw this movie? Robin Williams was so good as Ivan Ooze. I was convinced it was
Robin Williams. I could see that, actually.
Maury Povich? That's who I thought he was.
Who was he? I didn't look that up.
I looked him up, didn't recognize the name.
Okay. But those are my achievements.
Nice.
I don't have any. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Look, Dave, you got no excuse whatsoever to not be prepared for this episode.
I'm super not. That's why I have Flopsy open and like
I'll trade you a no achievements pass for an appendix.
All right, you have to get it from the hospital. You might have to go like dumpster diving in the biohazard.
You didn't want
to
keep it.
We're gonna use it to make soap.
Yeah, you might not
fried
want to.
Up.
Nah, maybe not.
Did you know there's all kinds? Well, I say all kinds. There's three different kinds of appendicitis, or three different reasons. Mine's the calcified poo reason.
Oh
shit.
Yeah. Apparently, like, I was told, you might not need surgery. There's like testing things out where you can take antibiotics to clear this out, and the surgeon came in and was like, you're not a candidate. And I was like, well, why not? He's like, because it's like calcified poo, man. Like, antibiotics isn't going to handle that. It's like, all right.
I'd be like, just get it out of me. Yeah, that way I don't have to fucking
cut
deal
it
with
out.
It. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah.
Dave. As Dave. Tyler?
I had three. My first one being Burger Time.
Nice.
That's how you recover your health, is you occasionally get a hamburger.
Occasionally is a very good way of putting it.
And lucky. Just like playing Burger Time, get burger, then die. that's how, as soon as you collect it, get hit and die.
Yes.
Hold Kimberly gentle like hamburger.
Hades 2, I'm ready for it.
Yep.
Dude,
did
they
you
did
sign
a,
up for the.
They did a video of the. A 3-hour long video of the play of them playing.
I didn't see
they
that.
They were streaming playthrough of Hades 2. I've got it in my list of things to watch on YouTube, yep. But it's out there. So I'm excited. I want to see that.
I signed up for the, I guess you would call it a beta, or I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know if you guys signed up or not. You might still be able
to do
that.
I did not. I'll have to try check that out. Check it out.
My other one, Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Nice.
Don't morph. Stay a teenager.
Okay.
I think once you get to the boss, you automatically morph, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I don't know either, because I was always in morph
like,
mode.
I need to fucking morph.
No shit.
And my last one is, it's Felicity's friend. You unlock that by beating the game as Kimberly.
Okay. On Wednesday, while you're wearing pink. Gotcha.
We'll see what Flopsy has to say about it.
Yeah, what do you guys think? What do you think Flopsy said about the game? Is it a stud or a dud? Mighty Morphin Power Rangers: colon the movie.
Stud. I'm going to say they gave it 3.5 stars, and I believe it was probably common.
I'm going to go with 3.5 stars, and like I want to say uncommon because it was late in the life cycle. It's a fucking movie game of a popular kid genre. Actually, I'll go 3 stars, very common.
Okay.
3 stars, very common. According to Flopsy, a.k.a. the Ultimate Nintendo Guide to the SNES Library, 1991 through 1998, by Pat Contry, courtesy of Monster Mole Mike, and a shadowy, mysterious benefactor, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers: colon the movie is 3.5 stars.
Nice.
And it is, an uncommon video game.
That is a surprise.
It is a surprise.
Hmm.
The original was common.
That is weird. A movie tie-in like that, you'd think it would have just been fucking everywhere. But,
the first game had password save, too. I do wish that this one had a password save.
That would have been nice.
How much do you guys think you would pay for it if you were to buy it loose?
$23.
$23.
See, I'm kind of wondering if it's not an IRM skins game situation. I'm going to half that and say $12.50.
Actual retail value of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, colon, the movie for the Super Nintendo, loose on average, according to PriceCharting.com at the time of this recording, is $47.50.
Doubled it.
Wow.
Instead of half.
Went the other way.
Good Lord. Okay.
I've got this one, but the label's torn.
Ah.
Yeah. Bomb. It's okay. I got it for way less than $47.
Yeah. That's a good thing. Yeah.
But that's really the only way I would not pay $47 for this game.
No.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this video game a beard, what kind of beard and why?
The goatee of one gnarled, grizzled old Bryan Cranston.
Yes.
As
Cuban
he was.
B.
Cuban B. As he was, yeah, notoriously, he talked about it on Stephen Colbert, where he was a monster of the week. I think he was like the mirror monster. Not the one you fight in this game, but like a different like mirror like villain. So Bryan Cranston's old man goatee.
I love it. Dude, you know who I loved in this movie? Speaking of monsters, was fucking Goldar. I fucking love that dude. Like, I thought he was funny. Yeah. And then, like, I think that, like, they were filming the movie and they were like, this pig monster, awful. It's going to disappear until it's going to come back at the end.
I feel like it's new. I don't remember him being before or after. I feel like he was also a unique to the movie villain.
Because, like, there was a point in the movie where I looked over at Nikki and I was like, there was a pig man in this movie earlier, right? And like now he's not here and no one's like, hey, where's the pig man? But Goldar is like, all right, that's good. I liked him.
Bulk and Skull were in it a little bit.
Bulk and Skull had a moment or two.
Yeah.
Why
are they in the plane with the rest of the group in the beginning?
Inclusion.
But it's okay.
I always wanted them to get ranger powers at some point, even like for a one-off, but it never happened. Yeah,
I guess in Super Sentai they never had like doofuses,
the fat ranger, right? Yeah.
I mean, you'd think if we got Rita and Zed rooting for the Rangers that we could at least see Bulk and Skull
could've
get
had,
some powers,
yeah,
briefly be heroes for a minute.
Beige and chartreuse Rangers, Bulk and Skull.
Plaid.
Mauve Ranger.
Tyler, if you were to give this game a pair of glasses, mm-hmm, what kind of glasses would you give it?
Again, Bryan Cranston's dad glasses from Malcolm in the Middle.
Okay.
To go with it. And it makes it sound like it's a really good game, but I just like Bryan Cranston.
It does make it sound like it is
but
a really
not.
Good game. I thought it was okay. I mean, like, I know we haven't like done top, middle, or bottom. I feel like, I mean, as much as I did not enjoy it, it didn't offend me. No point was I like, fuck this game.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
like,
okay.
Upper middle.
That's right.
We've had
it.
A lot of trash, yeah, so upper middle.
It fits. It's fine. It's better than a lot.
It is. It's better than a lot. Sad to say, but yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I didn't realize how rare good games are.
Yeah, they're super rare, turns out.
Well, got anything else, boys?
What are we going to do next?
Well, we got to roll.
Got a quick turnaround.
Uh-huh. So, oh, yeah. We
so probably don't want to do a movie in a
couple
game.
Of days. I
do
don't know.
Do we want to do the fighting game?
I kind of thought we would go ahead and finish off the Power Rangers series with the fighting game.
We could.
I feel like that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
That won't be a big investment.
Doing that? Okay.
Yeah, we'll have plenty.
Okay, great.
Even if it's an hour, we'll still have plenty.
All right. Okay, yeah, that sounds good to me.
We're
knock it out.
Just trying to publish, people. But that is a good idea, actually. Let's do it.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes, not SoundCloud, not Stitcher, but on Spotify, YouTube, all over the goddamn place. Got lots of shit going on, but most importantly, we got that Patreon.
I had a thing come up when I opened Apple Podcasts today. I hadn't opened it in a while, and it popped up with a thing that said new on Apple Podcasts. Apparently, there are transcripts available now for some podcasts.
Yeah.
I don't know if it happens for all podcasts, but it would be funny as hell to go through and see if ours gets transcribed and how well it would do. Kind of be like looking at the call transcriptions from our calls.
Spotify's doing that too. I've been meaning to play ours and see if it does.
We do have a Patreon, speaking of. If you'd like to donate to our Patreon, you can do so at patreon.com/tadpog. We have bonus content available. We've got new bonus content planned, which hopefully if we can all stop having catastrophic things happen and find the time to get together outside of our normal schedule, we do have some plans. We're planning on doing a Dark Tower and a super special surprise series that should be a lot of fun. We do have these in the works. We just got to find the time to do it. So thank you for your patience and your continued donations, despite the fact that we haven't added a lot of bonus content lately. We do have a list of executive producers. These are the fine folks who donate $20 or more per month to the show. And as far as I know, this list is still accurate because I haven't checked. So I'm going to read it now, starting with Cubicle Monkey, Plinko Nick Price, Usurper Grimm, Gamebunk Prime Nathan Eaton, Pinball Airplane Archmage Chris Edler, sorry you couldn't be on this episode, Derek Pope Sandwich, Enthusiast Jeff Miners, Drink Smith, Joey Webster, Sandwich Pope Phil Hawkins, and last but not least, Louisville correspondent Princess Consuela, Banana Hammock, Flavor Trick, Taryn Dahl, congratulations on your marriage. Thank you to Dane for putting our show up on YouTube every week.
Yeah, thanks, Dane.
And thanks to Brad from Arizona for sending us GamePro reviews of the stuff and checking in with us every week. That's really cool.
Yeah, thanks.
And again, if you'd like to donate, it's patreon.com/tadpog. $1 a month gets you what we got.
And it helps us.
And it helps.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. It fucking helps. So.
It helps a lot. Yeah. I mean, it's a nice thing to have that money every month and to be like, oh, yes, I forgot. I actually sometimes forget. And then Dave will, you know, say, hey, like, here's your money. Nice. I'm like, oh, sweet. I needed that. I can go to the grocery this week.
It helps.
It does help. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's all I've got.
Our theme song is Moves by Seymour Drive. Link to that track. Find the show notes at tadpog.com. How you guys want to close it out?
It's Alpha.
Ay, ay, ay. Man, when they show up at the Power Ranger, at Zordon's house, you know, and they're like busting it up. I was like, fuck, man, they are destroying that set. That's literally what my brain said. It was like, that's that. It's like, it's not a set. It's Zordon's house. But it looks so much like a set. Like, they don't like try to disguise. Like, they're not trying to fool you into thinking this is real.
And it was the same shitty picture they show of the place on the show. Like, it's where they always cut to like 2 seconds of this sandy looking place.
Right. Like, here's a door in a mountain, like a mountain face or whatever. And it's like, you never see this when they're like at the school hanging out. You never see like the giant Zordon tower in the distance.
It still looks so bad. It reminded me of like early episodes of Doctor Who inside the TARDIS. Yes. You know how that looked like a set.
I'm so glad that you said Doctor Who, because like, that was always a concern of like my former art directors from England and all that. Love Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And I remember when they were talking
call
about,
on Sunday when Doctor Who is on.
And
it was a rule. It was a thing. You don't call during Doctor Who.
When they were talking about a movie.
Or ring. Don't ring.
That was always a concern of his. And I think this is relevant in the Power Rangers, because it's like a lot of the charm of Doctor Who is that it's not a big budget show,
right?
Like, even like recently, I don't know, I didn't watch it recently, but like the Tenet stuff is like, that's pretty low.
It's low budget, but you can get a lot better special effects for less money now than you could then. It's easier to come by, so it looks better, but it still feels low budget, which in a good way.
It would be weird to me, granted I haven't been keeping up with it, I don't know what it's like right now, but it would be weird to me to watch a Doctor Who episode or movie and it be all J.J. Abrams. Like, right. I would be like, what the fuck?
It wouldn't feel right.
It wouldn't feel right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Are they doing a movie? I heard something more about that recently.
I haven't heard. I know. I haven't even watched the David Tennant ones
yet. Yeah, I didn't either.
I've watched up through Jodie Whittaker, and then I'm excited to see the new David Tennant because he's my guy. Mm-hmm. But I just haven't had time to sit down and watch yet, so that'll be fun.
I thought I saw a trailer or something for one. That's.
I haven't heard, about a movie yet.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail us. Mm-hmm. I just thought of that.
It's all good. It's Alpha 5.
Sure.
So until next time.
Rangers!
Tropical!
Aye, aye, aye.
So hard on.
Tadpog is hosted and produced by Tyler Holland, Dave Moore, and Ian Chandler. New episodes publish Wednesdays each week and are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else podcasts are hosted. Have a question or comment for the hosts? Call us at 270-883-2555 and leave us a voicemail. If we like it, we'll play it on the show and respond. Want to send us something? You can do that at Tadpog Studios, care of Nicole Nance, P.O. Box 3785, Paducah, Kentucky, 42002. If you absolutely must send us a food item, please use caution and good judgment when doing so. Tasty snacks that look or smell funky or are past their expiration date by the time we get to them will be thrown away. Bonus content is available at patreon.com/tadpog with a minimum donation of $1 per month. You can join in on the conversation by visiting our Discord at bit.ly/tadpogdiscord. Registration is free and we'd love to see you there. Thanks for listening, and if you haven't already, don't forget to subscribe to our show so you don't miss an episode. Now, where did I put that stinger? Oh, here it is.
And now for dramatic reading. I thought I saw a man brought to life. He was warm, and he came around like he was dignified. He showed me what it was to cry. Well, you couldn't be that man that I adored. You don't seem to know or seem to care what your heart is for. I don't know him anymore. There's nothing where he used to lie. Our conversation has run dry. That's what's going on. Nothing's fine. I'm torn. I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel. I'm cold and I'm ashamed. Lying naked on the floor. Illusion never changed into something real. I'm wide awake and I can see that perfect sky is torn. You're a little late. I'm already torn. Torn.
That was deep as fuck.
Believe it!